Welcome back to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. Joining me in studio this morning, Christy Weber. She's the founder of Shoes and Hope. Christy, welcome to His Time.
Good morning.
It's good to have you in studio. It's a nice chilly morning here in St. Louis, and thanks for braving the cold, coming over and spending some time with us and sharing with us about Shoes and Hope. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I am Christy Weber, as you said. I am a German Lutheran. Grew up, my maiden name is Meyer, so that pretty much tells you. Grew up down in South County going to Resurrection Lutheran Church, went to grade school at Green Park and graduated high school at Lutheran South. And my family, we live out in St. Peter's now. We go to Messiah Lutheran in Weldon Spring.
Oh, great.
So I have a husband and three amazing kids, 18, 10, and 7.
And living here in the St. Louis area, what brought you to have concern or care for others around the world? It sounds like you've spent most of your life here in the St. Louis area.
I've been here all my life. Back in 2004, I started going on a once-a-year mission trip. And it started with, we were supposed to be in Venezuela on an eyeglass mission and ended up in Puerto Rico and learned on that first trip. It's about being flexible. Mm-hmm. I started going on a once-per-year mission trip, places like Cambodia, Uganda, Poland, and just really seeing a different side of the world that most people wouldn't see. So in 2010, I was looking for a place where I could take my teenage daughter. She was 13 at the time, and we had done a couple mission trips, but looking for a place where we could impact not only spiritually, but on a humanitarian side as well. So I went to my pastor at the time and said, I think we need to look into doing something like this. And he said, he scribbled down a name, COMS. It's Central American Lutheran Mission Society. And he said, I suggest that you check it out and invite people to go. So that's what I did. I ended up on a get to know the mission trip in 2011 and came back and have been able to take four teams from Messiah Lutheran to Guatemala. And I really started seeing something, you know, there was more of a need than could be met on a once a year trip. And it's all based on relationships and getting to know people. And so a couple years ago, I really started getting antsy. I went to my husband and kind of talked to him and said, you know, I'm going to quit my job. And, you know, it all worked out. I volunteered most of last year and just looking for a place to partner with, you know, find partnerships that we could pull this off. And over the summer, we just dedicated our first water project in a small village called Quebrada de Agua in the mountains of Guatemala. So that was pretty exciting.
Tell us about the water project.
So the water project, basically when I say they have nothing in these villages, they have nothing. They live day to day to find food and water and no electricity. And they make an average of $40 a year. So when you really think about $40 a year, what we spend $40 on, it's pretty amazing. So we meet with the village leaders, which are called the Kakoti, and we meet with them and kind of ask them what they think about their community. You know, we don't want to come in and say, oh, we think you need this and you need that. We come in and we say, what do you think is good about your community? What are your assets? And so that kind of started at the top of their list was water. They had a little bit of water in a few areas of the village, but that was at the top of our list. So we fundraised over the summer, and over a three-month time period, they were able to pull that off. So Shoes and Hope supplied the materials, and their kind of buy-in is hard work and commitment to their community. So the men of the village actually dug through the 3 miles in the mountains to bring the pipes to the village. So now every family has water to their home.
Wow.
Which is pretty awesome.
So I get the hope part. Where do shoes come into the picture?
So the shoe part is, you know, it's really a conversation starter. It allows us to be able to come out and talk about the mission, but it is a way to diversify our project income. So we collect shoes. Well, if you have new shoes to donate, we take those also. But generally, your used shoes. When you're done with your used shoes, you don't want them anymore. You're going to dump them in the trash. We definitely don't want you dumping them in the trash. We keep them out of the local landfills, and we collect those at different drop sites around the area. And then when we get a certain number, we sell those. We get paid for those shoes by the pound, and then we use that money for impact.
Wow. So you collect used shoes. I'm curious, what value are the used shoes? How does someone else, when you sell them, how do they use them?
So we have someone that purchases them, and he sells them to street vendors in Central and South America, also places like Haiti, where it creates a job for a street vendor.
I see.
Kind of a micro-enterprise type of thing.
Wow. So it keeps things, it's a helping that keeps going.
Correct.
Rather than a helping that hurts.
Yeah. Exactly.
Wow. So by collecting shoes, and that helps fund the projects that you work on, such as clean water for this community.
Right.
Outstanding. Well, tell us about some of the trips that you've made when you've visited the people that you get to visit with, and what you learn about them. You mentioned, you know, talking with the leaders of that community that you were in. Tell us about some of the other trips that you've made.
So, you know, there's a stereotype of those people. People say those people in the poor countries and third world countries, that they are lazy and entitled and things like that. And it's quite the opposite. People are actually, you know, they're very hard workers. They're very committed to their communities. They just don't have all the resources. So that's kind of where we come in, and we can partner our resources. But the people in general are hard workers. They're generally happy. Right now I'm speaking mainly of Guatemala and several villages there. They're generally happy. They don't know anything outside of their communities. The first time we went into Quebrada de Agua, we said, oh, we're from the United States. Who knows where the United States is? And no one knew where the United States was, you know. So they know their little communities, and so they're not comparing to what they have or don't have. They just want to eat and survive. So other trips I've been on, I've been to Cambodia, kind of on a looking for partnership type mission, visiting orphanages, things like that. People are really amazing no matter where you go. They really are. Uganda. I visited Uganda in 2009 through a mission trip through my church, and it was it's definitely life changing when you see, especially in Uganda, where they've lost so many of the middle generation. You know, you'll see the older folks, and then you see, you know, the younger kids, but the whole kind of middle generation has been lost to AIDS, and it's really a challenging life that these people live. And kind of our challenge is relating that to people here. Mm-hmm. You know, we're in our first world problems and things like that. You know, it's really life changing to see them. But visiting with people, sure, it's pretty amazing.
The thought of losing nearly an entire generation, and how that will impact a community, a culture, a whole country. I mean, that's significant.
It is. And there are a lot of children that live just with other families, mm-hmm, of course, with relatives if their parents die. But, you know, there are just, we have a sponsored child over there that for school, and, you know, she just lives with another family. Mm. So there, it's not unheard of for a family, mm-hmm, to be, you know, a mother and then, you know, 9 or 10 kids living with her.
What has been perhaps the most challenging trip or project you've been on, most challenging or exhausting even?
Flexibility is always the key, as I mentioned earlier. You know, communication is a little bit of a challenge, you know, when you don't speak the language. I do not speak Spanish, so when we go to Guatemala, it is a little bit of a challenge. Now my 18-year-old daughter, she has it on her heart to mission in Guatemala. She's been on several trips with me and spent the summer interning down there with Calms, and wants to, you know, continue that journey. And she does speak Spanish, so that's kind of a... It's a good thing for me.
That's helpful. Yeah.
Yes, it is. But we have, you know, partners there, but that really is, we go house to house often, and we will visit with the families and pray with the families. And it is a challenge to not be able to just sit down and have a open conversation and really get to know them. You know, you lose a little bit of that when you're talking with a translator.
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest challenge is just not being able to, you know, you just want to help everybody. You just want to, sure, come in and, you know, save the world, basically. And but one thing I do want to share is through this, I've come to realize, you know, a lot of people say, oh, that's someone else's problem. You know, why deal with that? There are people here in our own backyards. Why do you go to the other side of the world? And I feel like there's, you know, here there's hope. There are programs put in place and there is hope that the right person will cross your path. But in some of these places, there just really is no hope at all. So we try to bring that in. And we are also working in some local communities here as well, some of the rural communities that don't have water. We're looking at a partnership with Bright Futures in Lincoln County and helping some people in our own backyards that don't have water or need, you know, a well repair, hand pump repair, things like that. So we like having an impact in our local community as well.
I'm sure for many of us, the idea that families' homes here in the United States don't have regular clean water is just surprising and
it's
unthinkable.
Surprising. And I've just realized this in the past month or so, and there really are people that will come in and a child hasn't had a bath in 11 days. And so the school nurse is, you know, taking a washcloth and trying to help them clean up. There are, you know, single moms in communities and their landlords don't want to spend the money to make some repairs. So these single moms have $300 per month water bills. So it's pretty, you know, it's pretty amazing to see that that's going on definitely in our backyards.
Wow. So Shoes and Hope is the name of the organization that you found. And how can listeners be helpful to Shoes and Hope? What can we do to be helpful?
So with Shoes and Hope, we work with no paid staff. So we have only volunteers. I am a full-time volunteer myself. And we look for committed partners. We are looking for people that want to come alongside us and partner with us and work together to raise money and collect shoes and things like that. Our biggest volunteer need right now is to help us spread the word. Save your old shoes, things like that. We're working on a project right now in Quebrada de Agua. Now that the clean water is completed, the next item on their wish list is latrines. So we are right now trying to raise money for 96 latrines. We just started this on Tuesday and we're up to 18 latrines. So that's awesome. They're only $110 a piece. So, you know, if you're looking for a Christmas gift for someone that has everything, they need nothing. You know, it's truly impactful to, you know,
sure.
For a latrine. So
make a gift in their name.
Exactly. In their honor. And you can find out more information at our website, which is shoesandhope.org.
Very good.
Yeah.
How can you mentioned collecting shoes? When and where, how do we get shoes to you?
So if you go to our website, there is a location on there where you can type in your zip code and the nearest three drop locations will pop up. So if you put in, you know, 63376, the nearest, you know, three places, we have about 25 drop sites around the area.
Neat.
The majority right now are kind of St. Charles, O'Fallon, things like that. We do have one in Fenton, one in Eureka, several banks down in this area, and looking for some businesses with storefronts in the South County and city areas to perhaps be a shoe drop for
us.
Well,
look at that. You have three in my neighborhood.
Awesome.
Three within a few miles of my home. So,
and if you have a bunch, I mean, we'll come get them. We have volunteers that will, you know, that are waiting. Say, oh, let me know where I need to go pick up shoes.
So. Sure. Yeah, that's great. You partnered with, it looks like, some local businesses in order to have a collection
Absolutely.
Site.
Absolutely. Yes.
How key is it to working with a whole community and partnering with businesses and people in the community?
It's very important. You know, it takes an army. It really does. And it takes committed partners. And one that's been pretty amazing is, it's called Community Living. It's in the St. Charles area. And they work with enriching the lives of adults with disabilities. And we've been able to partner with them to actually sort our shoes. So once a week, we visit their four centers and we drop off all of our shoes. They load them into these little laundry bins and they sort the shoes. So it creates a job for them at no cost to us. And they separate the shoes, rubber band them, count them into bags, and they get so excited when we come in with shoes. Like, we need more shoes. We need more shoes. So they, in turn, are promoting with some local churches that say, what can we do for community living? And they say, well, you can get us shoes. You can get us shoes to sort for Shoes and Hope. And so, you know, there's three different...
Everybody wins.
Everybody wins. And so it's definitely important to keep those partnerships and relationships, because that's kind of the key.
And it gives those individuals at community living an opportunity to contribute to someone else's well-being as well.
Exactly. Creates a job for them and, you know, kind of a purpose.
Sure. Yes. It gives them an opportunity to contribute in a way that's helpful and meaningful.
Absolutely.
That's really neat. ShoesandHope.org is the name of the organization. You can find out more on the website. Any events or anything, any trips coming up soon?
Actually, in January, I will be going to Belize. We will be taking flip-flops. Normally, we sell the shoes, but we collected over the summer about 300 pair of flip-flops.
Wow.
New flip-flops that we will be taking to the kids in Belize. There is also some water filtration things that we are looking at. And then often you will see in some of these mission trips that people will come into these countries, do a project, and then leave, and then you'll never see them again. There's a situation where an organization from Canada came in, did a water project, spent 3 weeks laying the pipe. It worked for about 2 weeks and hasn't worked since, and that was March. So we are working with a water engineer and some locals in Belize to hopefully repair that while we're there in January.
Outstanding. Well, thank you for sharing your story today. And again, we'll point our listeners to the website, shoesandhope.org. Christy Weber, the founder and gathering resources, including shoes right now. Thanks so much for being our guest today, Christy.
Thanks so much.
Coming up in just a little bit, we have our study of the daily New Testament reading. Today, we'll study with Pastor Tyler Hopmeyer from Arnold, Missouri. Hope you can join us for our study of 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 21. And we'll take a look at that here in a little bit, and more his time right after that on Worldwide KFUO.